A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So we've talked about situational awareness in many episodes, and I have shared the view repeatedly enough times that if anyone's actually listening to these episodes, they're probably bored of hearing it, that the signal-to-noise ratio has never been poorer. It's a really strange paradox. We live in an era of almost unparalleled information saturation. And I'm talking, yes, again, about the Iran-Israel war. And yes, we've never had more freely available ADB data and marine data tracking flights, tracking ships in near real time. And yet, I feel like there's a paucity of actual signal. And I mentioned that my particular use case, to use that word, is literally sitting here in Jerusalem, knowing that the government can be counted upon to tell you when there's a rocket that's going to be here in the next 5 minutes, and therefore you should probably get to your nearest shelter, which might take 3 minutes. And that's not a whole lot of heads. That's not a great heads up, you know, if you want to get the go bag ready. So I find that there's this incredibly frustrating gap between what I unaffectionately call talking heads. I know that's a term people use. Some people, I told my wife, I can't listen to talking heads. She said, what's a talking head? So apparently, not everyone knows that term, but, you know, talking heads, the guys who yap on television, and we have them in Israel, by the way. There are literally Hebrew-speaking talking heads and Hebrew talking head channels where you'll just hear endless speculation. And I think that the people on these shows trade in the broken assumption that if you were once in the army or you're once an army general, you know what's going on. And I feel frequently watching these things, I'm not sure these guys actually know what's going on any more than someone reading Google News does. So my particular pragmatic use case for situational awareness has been, I want to get something like those updates that bridge between the background speculation and the 3 minute thing, something at that intermediate tier. And I mentioned that situational reports, site reps, brilliant format. I created my own site rep generation thing. It's called sitrepisrael.com. In fact, our website is sitrepisr.com, and we publish a twice daily automatic site rep that has an agentic pipeline. So I kind of built my own news product, because the ones that you can subscribe to tend to cost like $1,000 a month, and it actually works really nicely. So it's kind of partially problem solved. But if you were to ask me, among all the different sources of news, and I've tried everything from subscribing to, you know, whatever the premier products are for the news wires, through to the daily site reps from other websites, but which one actually came closest to being something that has that really hard design to get right, which is, if you're actually in a conflict zone, you want to be notified not once a day, which is typically the way that kind of these NGOs, news organizations, think tanks, the people that do the kind of heavy satellite imagery, site rep style reporting, they tend to disproportionately be once per day products, or like my podcast, twice per day, because it takes a while to parse those things and triangulate information. But if you're living in the middle of a place that could kind of, you know, break out into conflict at any moment, a 12-hour lag is a lot. Equally, the real-time news feeds, the fire hoses of X, Telegram, etc., are unhelpful, because they're just, it's a flood. And if you ask me, is there anything that actually got that formula right of, let's sit between the fire hose and the user and give something like a slightly curated, slightly edited feed tagged for real events, I'd actually say Live UA Map. For those who haven't heard of Live UA Map, it is a website. You can sign up for the premium account, which is like literally $5 a month or something in that region. So if you support what they do, I think it's a very reasonable subscription. And they basically provide a lightly curated feed, and you can choose a region based on what's happening. And when the war here was at its most volatile with Iran, that was the app that I was checking by far the most often. And I would occasionally go into Twitter or X to kind of just cross-check things that were mentioned there. But it was very reliable. It was like the closest thing I've seen to a feed of, check this out, it would, like, we're not going to flood you with useless speculation. This will be either government statements, military movements, confirmed strikes. They have this whole categorization list, and it's a very nicely done product. So what I'd love to explore, Herman and Corin, is Live UA Map. Firstly, what is it? Let's learn a little bit. It's been a very well-respected resource among the OSINT crowd for quite some time. And what would you call the type of information product they produce? And for those who want something maybe slightly more polished, slightly more commercial, or just different, what else is out there in this layered tier of product that I guess has that analysis, corroboration, verification, and deduplication baked in? And I want to just emphasize the last one, because when you try to get information at the fire hose level, projects like GDelt, for those who have checked it out, you realize that duplication is 80% of the problem. If you pick up the fire hose of Iran-Israel, and there's anything in the news, you'll get that thing literally 200 times between the original sources, syndicated sources, downstream analysis. So it's a combination of a few different value adds that's in between. You suffer a bit of latency, but you get some reliability. Let's talk about that today, Herman and Corin.
Daniel sent us this one, and I think anyone who's tried to follow a fast-moving conflict from inside it will recognize the problem immediately. He's in Jerusalem. He's got the government's rocket warning system giving him maybe 5 minutes to reach a shelter that's 3 minutes away, and the professional news channels are full of former generals speculating endlessly. What he wanted was something in between. Not the fire hose of real-time social media, not the 12-hour lag of institutional side traps, but a curated feed with verification and deduplication baked in. His answer, and the one he's been using most, is Live UA Map.
Before we dive into what Live UA Map actually is, a quick production note. Today's script is being written by DeepSeek 5.4 Pro. There we go, that's out of the way. Now, Corin, Daniel's framing here, is genuinely useful because he's identified a tier of information product that most people don't even know exists. You've got the raw fire hose on one end, you've got polished daily briefings on the other, and then there's this middle layer where you accept a bit of latency in exchange for reliability. That's where Live UA Map sits.
He's been building his own solution too, which tells you how much of a gap there is. He mentions sitrepisrael.com, twice daily automated sitreps using an agentic pipeline. He built his own news product because the commercial ones cost about $1,000 a month. That's not a hobby project. That's someone staring at a genuine market failure and deciding to fix it himself.
The fact that he still finds Live UA Map more useful for the in-between tier says something. So let's start with what Live UA Map actually is, because I think a lot of listeners have probably seen screenshots of it without knowing the full story.
I know I've seen it floating around on X during every major conflict event of the last few years. The map with the little explosion icons and the colored markers. But I never actually understood what's happening under the hood.
Live UA Map. The website is liveuamap.com, was founded back in 2014 by a team of Ukrainian developers. It launched specifically in response to the Russian annexation of Crimea and the war in Donbass that started that same year. The original idea was straightforward: create a real-time, interactive map that tracks conflict events as they happen, with every marker linked to a verified source. Not speculation, not rumor, sourced information.
It was born out of a specific conflict, not built as a general-purpose platform and then adapted.
That origin story matters because it shaped the entire editorial philosophy. The founders were dealing with an information environment where Russian state media was flooding the zone with disinformation, and Western media was often days behind or relying on second-hand reports. They needed something fast enough to be useful, but rigorous enough to be trusted. The solution was a human-curated feed with strict sourcing requirements.
It's now expanded well beyond Ukraine, right? Daniel mentioned using it for Iran, Israel coverage.
It covers pretty much every active conflict zone and geopolitical flashpoint now. Syria, Israel, Palestine, Yemen, the Sahel, Myanmar, Taiwan Strait tensions, they've got regional maps for all of these. But the editorial model remains the same. Every single event marker on the map has to be linked to a verifiable source. usually an official government statement, a military communique, a verified video with geolocation confirmed, a reputable local news outlet, or in some cases, a vetted social media account with a track record of accuracy.
This is where the curation comes in, because anyone who's tried to follow a conflict on X or Telegram knows that for every one real report, there are about 50 pieces of junk, duplicate reports, outdated information being recirculated as new, deliberate disinformation, people mistaking footage from 2014 for something that happened 10 minutes ago.
Daniel mentioned GDELT in his prompt, and that's worth unpacking for a second. GDELT, the Global Database of Events, Language, and Tone, is this massive academic project that ingests basically the entire world's news output and tries to categorize every event. But when you point it at a breaking conflict, you discover that about 80% of what it pulls is duplication. The same AP Wire story gets syndicated across 300 news sites, and suddenly your fire hose is telling you there were 300 separate bombing incidents when there was actually one.
That's not the failure of GDELT. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do, which is capture everything. The problem is that everything is mostly noise when you're trying to figure out what's actually happening right now. The deduplication problem Daniel emphasized is real, and it's one of the hardest things to solve algorithmically, because duplication isn't always literal copy-paste. Sometimes you've got three different news outlets describing the same event with slightly different details, and you need to figure out whether these are three separate incidents or three perspectives on one incident.
How does LiveUAMAP handle this? Is it purely human curation, or do they have some automation in the pipeline?
Right, that's the question.
It's primarily human curation, and that's the secret sauce. They have a team of editors, I don't know the exact headcount, but it's not huge, who monitor a wide range of sources in multiple languages and manually create event markers. Each marker gets a category: military movement, airstrike, explosion, government statement, civilian casualty report, and so on. They've got a whole taxonomy. And the marker includes a timestamp, a location pinned on the map, a brief description, and the source link.
You're not reading a paragraph of analysis. You're getting a headline-level event notification that you can click through if you want more detail.
That's the whole product philosophy. They're not trying to replace long-form journalism or intelligence analysis. They're trying to solve a very specific problem. You want to know what's happening right now, in what order, and where. And you want to know that each piece of information has been checked against at least one credible source.
Daniel mentioned that the premium subscription is about $5 a month. What do you actually get for that?
The free version gives you access to the map with a slight delay and some limitations on filtering. The premium subscription removes the delay, gives you more granular filtering options, and most importantly, lets you set up custom alerts for specific regions or event types. So if you're in Jerusalem and you want to know about any military movement within a certain radius, you can get push notifications for just that.
Which is exactly the use case Daniel described, something that bridges the gap between the 3-minute rocket siren and the talking heads on Channel 12.
I think this is where the conversation gets interesting, because LiveUAMAP is not the only product in this space, and it's worth understanding what the alternatives are and how they differ. But before we get to that, I want to spend a moment on what makes this tier of information products so hard to get right. There's a trilemma here. You've got three desirable properties: speed, reliability, and coverage, and you can't maximize all three simultaneously. If you want maximum speed, you take the raw firehose from X and Telegram, and you accept that a bunch of what you're reading is wrong or duplicated. If you want maximum reliability, you wait for professional intelligence analysts to verify everything, and you get your report 12 hours later. If you want maximum coverage, you ingest everything and accept that you'll be overwhelmed by volume.
The middle tier is about making deliberate trade-offs between these three.
LiveUAMAP's trade-off is, we're going to be slightly slower than the raw firehose, but much faster than an institutional site reap. We're going to be more reliable than social media, but we're not going to be as comprehensive as a full intelligence product. And we're going to cover a lot of ground, but we're not going to give you deep analysis on any single event.
The other thing Daniel mentioned that I think is crucial is that they have a categorization system. So it's not just a stream of undifferentiated events. You can filter by what kind of event you care about.
That's a form of signal amplification. If you're a civilian in a conflict zone, you probably care more about air raid warning and impact reported than you do about diplomatic statement or economic sanctions update. The categorization lets you tune the feed to your actual information needs.
Which brings us back to something Daniel said that I think a lot of people feel but don't articulate well. He talked about the broken assumption that if you were once in the army or an army general, you know what's going on. And his experience watching these talking heads on Israeli television is that they don't seem to know any more than someone reading Google News.
There's actually research on this. The track record of retired military officers as television commentators is not great, particularly when it comes to predicting near-term developments. They bring domain expertise that's useful for understanding military doctrine or explaining weapon systems, but that's different from having access to current intelligence. And in some cases, the domain expertise actually creates overconfidence. They're more likely to make confident-sounding predictions based on pattern recognition from their own experience, even when the current situation doesn't match those patterns.
The format of television news rewards confidence. Nobody wants to watch a former general say, "I'm not sure. We'd need to see more data." They want someone who sounds like they know what's happening.
Whereas a product like LiveUA Map doesn't have an opinion. It just says, here's what we've confirmed, here's the source, you can click through and check it yourself. That's a fundamentally different relationship with the user.
Alright, so let's talk about alternatives. Daniel asked, what else is out there in this layered tier? Products that have analysis, corroboration, verification, and deduplication baked in. What's the competitive landscape look like?
There are a few different approaches worth mentioning. The first category is what I'd call the direct competitors to LiveUA Map. Interactive conflict, maps with curated event feeds. The most prominent one that comes to mind is the ISW's interactive map. The Institute for the Study of War has been doing daily assessments of the Ukraine conflict since the full-scale invasion began, and they produce a map with assessed control of terrain and labeled axes of advance. But it's a different product philosophy. ISW updates once a day, it's more analytical, and it's focused on territorial control rather than real-time events, so that's closer to the 12-hour lag institutional SITREP tier.
What about something closer to LiveUA Maps model?
ACLED, the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, has been around since 1997, originally focused on African conflicts, now global. They collect data on political violence and protest events worldwide, with a big emphasis on methodological rigor. Every event is coded by trained researchers using a standardized taxonomy, and they publish both real-time data and historical data sets for researchers. But again, that's designed for analysts and academics. The latency is typically a few days to a week for most regions. It's not a tool for situational awareness in the moment.
What about the more commercial end of the spectrum? Daniel mentioned that the professional Newswire products cost about $1,000 a month. What do you actually get for that?
Services like Reuters Connect or Bloomberg Terminal or AP's Newswire give you raw, unfiltered access to their entire reporting output in near real time. For a large news organization or a financial trading desk, that's incredibly valuable. You're shaving minutes off your information latency, and in those contexts, minutes matter. But for an individual trying to stay situationally aware, it's overwhelming and expensive, and it's not curated for your needs. You're getting everything, the sports scores, the corporate earnings, the celebrity gossip, alongside the conflict updates. The deduplication problem is still there because wire services often send multiple updates on the same developing story. So you're paying $1,000 a month for the privilege of doing your own curation.
Which is why Daniel built his own pipeline. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think the sitrepisrael.com project is interesting in its own right. He's using an agentic pipeline to generate twice daily sitreps automatically. That's not a trivial thing to build.
No, it's not. And it raises an interesting question about where this whole space is heading. We're seeing more and more automated news aggregation products that use large language models to summarize, categorize, and deduplicate news feeds. The technology is getting better, but there's still a gap between what an LLM can do and what a trained human editor can do, particularly when it comes to verification.
The hallucination problem, you mean?
Not just hallucination. LLMs are actually reasonably good at summarization when they're working from reliable source material. The problem is source evaluation, an LLM. doesn't know that a particular Telegram channel has been reliable for the past 6 months, but has a known bias toward exaggerating casualty figures from one side. A human editor who's been covering the conflict develops that knowledge over time. Even with retrieval augmented generation pulling in current sources at query time, the model doesn't have the kind of source credibility model that a human curator builds up. It can't say this source has been right about these kinds of events 80% of the time, so I'll weight it accordingly.
The human-in-the-loop model that LiveUAMAP uses might actually be the sweet spot for now. You got humans doing the source evaluation and event categorization, and technology handling the distribution and alerting.
I think that's exactly right. But there are other products in this space worth mentioning. One that's gotten a lot of attention in the OSI team community is the Conflict Intelligence Team, or CIT. They're a small group of independent researchers who do open source investigations of conflicts, primarily Ukraine and Syria. They're not a real-time map, but they produce very high-quality verified reporting with a focus on things like weapons identification and geolocation. They distribute primarily through Telegram and their website. They're complementary to something like LiveUAMAP rather than a replacement.
Then there's the whole ecosystem of OSINT accounts on X that have built up credibility over time. People like Oryx, who became famous for visually confirmed equipment losses in Ukraine, or various geolocation specialists who verify videos.
The challenge with individual OSINT accounts is discoverability and consistency. If you're new to a conflict, you don't know which accounts are reliable and which ones are grifters. And even reliable accounts have gaps in their coverage. They sleep, they have day jobs, they might focus on one aspect of the conflict and miss others. A curated platform like LiveUAMAP aggregates across many of these sources and provides a consistent product.
If you were advising someone who wants to set up a personal situational awareness system, not a professional intelligence analyst, just someone who wants to be informed without drowning in noise, what would the stack look like?
I'd say it depends on your latency requirements. If you're in a conflict zone and you need near real-time awareness, something like LiveUAMAP Premium with custom alerts is probably your best first layer. It gives you a filtered, verified feed with push notifications for the event types and regions you care about. Your second layer might be a handful of trusted OSINT accounts or Telegram channels that provide more analysis and context, maybe 5 to 10 sources max. If you're following 50 accounts, you're back in firehose territory. The third layer is your daily or twice daily site trip, something like DanielSitripIsrael.com or the ISW Daily Assessment, or a subscription to a specialized newsletter from a think tank. This layer is not about reacting to events in real time. It's about understanding the trajectory of the conflict and the strategic context.
You've got real-time alerts for immediate threats, curated feeds for situational awareness throughout the day, and daily analysis for strategic understanding. Three layers, each with a different latency and depth trade-off.
The beauty of this approach is that each layer filters the noise for the layer below it. Your real-time alerts tell you what needs attention right now. Your curated feed tells you what's actually happening, stripped of duplication and speculation. And your daily site trip tells you what it all means in context.
Let's go back to LiveUAMAP specifically for a moment. One thing I'm curious about is how they handle the verification process. When an editor sees a report come in, what's the actual workflow for deciding whether it gets a marker on the map?
From what they've described publicly, the process is roughly, an editor sees a report from a monitored source, they check whether it's already been reported, they verify the source against their internal credibility database, and if possible, they look for a second source confirming the same event. If it passes those checks, they create the marker with a category, a location, a timestamp, and the source link. If it's unverified but potentially significant, they might flag it as unconfirmed. The latency varies, but typically it's somewhere between 5 and 30 minutes from the first report appearing to the marker going live. That's the trade-off we talked about. You're waiting long enough for a human to do a basic verification check, but not so long that the information is stale.
That's actually pretty fast. During the Iran-Israel exchanges earlier this year, I remember seeing LiveUAMAP markers appearing within minutes of the first reports.
That's where their experience and institutional knowledge pays off. If you've been covering a conflict for years, you know which sources are reliable for which kinds of events. You know that a particular local journalist consistently gets accurate information about airstrikes, but might be slower on diplomatic developments. That kind of source credibility modeling is hard to automate.
Daniel mentioned something interesting in his prompt that I want to circle back to. He said that when the war with Iran was most volatile, Live UA Map was the app he checked most often, and he'd occasionally go into X to cross-check things. So he was using Live UA Map as his primary feed, and social media as a secondary verification layer. That's the inverse of how most people consume conflict news.
Most people do the opposite. They scroll X or Telegram, see something alarming, and then maybe check a news site if they remember. The problem with that approach is that social media algorithms optimize for engagement, not accuracy. The most alarming and emotionally charged reports get the most distribution, regardless of whether they're true. And by the time a correction comes out, if it comes out, it gets a fraction of the reach of the original false report. So you end up with a population that's simultaneously overinformed and misinformed.
That's the paradox Daniel opened with. Unparalleled information saturation, and yet a paucity of actual signal. The signal is there, but it's buried under so much noise that extracting it requires either specialized tools or enormous amounts of time.
Which is why I think Daniel's approach of building his own pipeline is admirable, but also kind of an indictment of the current information ecosystem. The fact that an individual feels the need to build an automated news product just to stay informed about his own security situation, that's a market failure.
It is, but it's also a solvable problem, and we're seeing more and more attempts to solve it. There's a whole category of startups and open source projects working on automated news summarization and verification. Some of them are using LLMs for the summarization part and human editors for the verification part, which is essentially the Live UA Map model, but with more automation in the pipeline.
There's one called Ground News that's interesting. They don't do real-time conflict mapping, but they aggregate coverage of the same story from multiple sources across the political spectrum and show you the bias distribution. It's a different approach to the same underlying problem. How do you surface signal in a noisy information environment? For the real-time conflict monitoring use case specifically, I think the most promising developments are in the OSIT tooling space. There are tools now that can automatically geolocate videos, detect AI-generated or manipulated media, and cross-reference reports across multiple languages. None of them are perfect yet, but they're getting better fast.
I imagine the ideal end state is some kind of hybrid system where AI handles the initial filtering and deduplication at scale, and human editors handle the edge cases and verification judgments.
That's exactly where I think this is heading. You'd have an automated pipeline that ingests thousands of sources, clusters similar reports, filters out obvious junk and duplication, and presents human editors with a much smaller set of candidate events to verify. The editors then apply their source credibility knowledge and make the final call on what gets published, which is basically what Daniel built with sitrepisrael.com, but with a human verification step added. And I suspect the reason he still finds Live UA Map more useful for the real-time tier is precisely that human verification step. The automated pipeline is great for the twice-daily site trep, but when you need to know what's happening in the next 30 minutes, you want a human who's looked at the source and made a judgment call.
Let's talk about the economics of this for a moment. Live UA Map charges about $5 a month for premium. They've got a small team of editors. How sustainable is that as a business model?
It's probably not wildly profitable, but it seems sustainable. They've been around since 2014, so 12 years now, which suggests the model works at some scale. They also do some advertising on the free tier, and I believe they've done custom mapping work for NGOs and news organizations. The editorial team in Ukraine presumably has lower operating costs than a comparable team in the US or Western Europe, but I think the bigger factor is that they've found a product market fit that doesn't require massive scale to be sustainable. They're not trying to be a billion-dollar company, they're trying to solve a specific problem for a specific audience, and they're charging enough to cover their costs and pay their editors.
Which is refreshing, honestly. Not every information product needs to be a venture-backed unicorn.
In fact, the venture-backed model might be actively harmful for this kind of product. If you take $100 million in venture funding, suddenly you need to grow fast and show massive returns. That pushes you toward engagement, maximizing features, personalized feeds, algorithmic recommendations, notification spam, that are exactly the opposite of what you want in a conflict monitoring tool. A conflict monitoring tool should be boring. It should tell you what happened, where, and when, with a source link, and then get out of your way. It shouldn't be trying to keep you scrolling.
There's a broader point here about what we actually want from news products. The traditional news industry is built around narrative, telling you a story about what's happening, with a beginning, middle, and end, with heroes and villains, with a clear arc. But that narrative structure imposes a frame on events that often distorts them. You see this in breaking news coverage all the time. The anchor has to say something, so they start speculating, and the speculation hardens into a narrative before any facts have been confirmed.
Whereas a product like LiveUA Map doesn't have a narrative, it has a timeline. Here's what we've confirmed happened, in chronological order, with sources. You can construct your own narrative from that if you want, but the product itself is agnostic, which makes it less engaging in the traditional sense, but more useful for actual decision-making. If you're trying to figure out whether to evacuate your family, or whether a particular route is safe to travel, you don't want a narrative arc. You want a list of confirmed events with timestamps and locations.
I think that's the core insight behind the whole SITREP format that Daniel keeps advocating for. A SITREP is not a story. It's a structured information dump designed to create shared situational awareness. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. Here's what we're watching. Here's what we recommend. The military developed the SITREP format for exactly this reason. In a fast-moving tactical situation, you don't have time for narrative. You need the facts, stripped of editorializing, organized in a predictable format so you can find what you need quickly.
Daniel's argument, which I think is correct, is that civilians in conflict zones have essentially the same information needs as military personnel. The stakes are different, but the structure of the problem is the same. You need verified, timely, deduplicated information organized in a way that supports rapid decision-making. The difference is that military personnel have dedicated intelligence units producing their SITREPs. Civilians are left to cobble together their own information systems from whatever tools are available.
Which brings us back to LiveUA Map and the broader ecosystem. What other tools should people know about if they're trying to build their own situational awareness stack?
A few come to mind. There's the Emergency Events Database, EMDAT, run by the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters. Not real-time, but a comprehensive historical database useful for understanding baseline risk. For more real-time applications, there's the GDAC system, the Global Disaster Alert and Coordination System, a joint project of the UN and the European Commission that provides automated alerts for earthquakes, tsunamis, tropical cyclones, floods, and volcanoes. It's not a conflict tool, but it's an example of a tiered alert system that gets the latency-reliability trade-off right. For conflicts specifically, beyond LiveUA Map, there's the Carter Center's conflict mapping work, the Uppsala Conflict Data Program for academic data, and a number of smaller OSINT collectives that have emerged around specific conflicts, the Yemen Conflict Observatory, the Myanmar Witness Project, the Syria Justice and Accountability Center's mapping work.
None of those are quite the same product category as LiveUA Map, though. They're either slower, more analytical, or more specialized.
LiveUA Map has a fairly unique position in the market. It's the closest thing to a general purpose, real-time, human-curated conflict event feed that's accessible to ordinary users at a reasonable price point. Which is both impressive and kind of concerning. Impressive that a small team in Ukraine has built something so useful, concerning that there aren't more alternatives.
I think the lack of alternatives reflects how hard the problem is. You need editors who are fluent in multiple languages, deeply knowledgeable about specific conflicts, and willing to work in a high-stress, high-stakes environment where getting something wrong can have real consequences. That's a rare combination of skills, and it's hard to scale.
The financial incentives aren't great. The people who most need this kind of tool, civilians in conflict zones, often can't afford to pay much. The people who can afford to pay, governments, militaries, large NGOs, often have their own intelligence capabilities and don't need a public tool. So you end up with a product that's incredibly valuable to its users, but hard to monetize at the level that would support a large team. LiveUA Map has found a sustainable niche, but it's a small niche.
That's actually a good segue into something I wanted to ask you. If someone listening wants to build something like Daniel Sit Repizrail for their own region or use case, what would you say are the hardest parts to get right?
Based on what Daniel described and what we know about the space, I'd say there are three hard problems. First is source discovery and credibility modeling, figuring out which sources to monitor and how much to trust each one. Second is deduplication, clustering reports of the same event across multiple sources and languages. Third is categorization, correctly labeling events so users can filter effectively.
Which of those is hardest?
Source credibility, hands down. Deduplication and categorization are technical problems that you can make steady progress on with good engineering. Source credibility requires building up institutional knowledge over time. You have to track which sources have been reliable for which kinds of events, which ones have known biases, which ones are fast but sloppy, which ones are slow but thorough. That's not something you can automate from scratch. And it's also context dependent. A source that's reliable for military movements might be unreliable for political analysis. A source that's good in one conflict might be useless in another. Which is why LiveUAMAP's model of having editors who specialize in specific regions and conflicts is so effective. They build up deep, context-specific credibility models over years of coverage.
Daniel mentioned that LiveUAMAP has a categorization list. Do we know what categories they use?
I don't have the full taxonomy, but from looking at the site, it includes things like airstrike, artillery shelling, explosion, military movement, armed clash, civilian casualty report, infrastructure damage, evacuation order, diplomatic statement, sanctions announcement, humanitarian corridor opening, and so on. They've got maybe 30 or 40 categories that cover most of what you'd want to track in a conflict. And the categorization is done by the human editors at the time they create the marker, which means it benefits from human understanding of context. An automated system might see a report of an explosion and categorize it as explosion, but a human editor who's been following the conflict knows that this particular explosion is part of a broader pattern of airstrikes and categorizes it accordingly. That context sensitivity is hard to replicate with current AI, and in a conflict monitoring context, a categorization error isn't just an annoyance. It could lead someone to miss a threat or overreact to a non-threat.
Alright, so we've covered what LiveUAMAP is, how it fits into the information ecosystem, and what alternatives exist. I think the last thing Daniel asked about was, what else is out there for people who want something slightly more polished or commercial? What does the step-up look like?
If you want something more polished than LiveUAMAP but still in the curated near-real-time tier, you're looking at products like Datum and NER, which is an AI-powered alerting platform that ingests public data, social media, news, blogs, dark web, and uses machine learning to surface breaking events. It's used by newsrooms, corporate security teams, and government agencies. The pricing is not public, but it's enterprise tier. We're talking thousands or tens of thousands of dollars per year, so a completely different market. Datum and NER is not for individuals trying to stay informed about their neighborhood. It's for organizations that need to monitor global events for business or security purposes.
What about the other direction? Something that's even more stripped down than LiveUAMAP?
That would be something like the Telegram channels that just repost official government alerts and verified incident reports with no curation or categorization. They're essentially raw feeds with a human choosing which sources to monitor. The signal-to-noise ratio is lower than LiveUAMAP, but the latency is even lower because there's no verification step beyond the initial source selection, so you're trading reliability for speed. Whether that's a good trade depends on your use case. If you're a first responder who needs to know about incidents the moment they're reported so you can start mobilizing, the raw feed might be better. If you're a civilian trying to decide whether to leave your house, the verified feed is probably better.
I want to circle back to something Daniel said about the Israeli government's alert system. He gets maybe 5 minutes of warning for a rocket, and it takes 3 minutes to reach a shelter. That's a 2-minute margin. In that context, even a 30-minute latency on a conflict monitoring tool is an eternity.
That's exactly why you need the layered approach. The government alert system handles the immediate life safety threat. LiveUAMAP handles the broader situational awareness. Is the conflict escalating? Are there ground movements near your area? Have neighboring countries issued statements that suggest the situation might expand? Those are the questions that determine whether you should be thinking about evacuation or supply stocking, not just sheltering in place. the 2-minute margin is for the rocket that's already in the air. The 30-minute latency is for understanding whether more rockets are likely to be in the air tomorrow.
That's the framework Daniel was asking us to explore. The layered approach to situational awareness, with Live UA Map occupying that crucial middle tier between the siren and the think tank report.
I think the other thing worth emphasizing is that this isn't just about tools. It's also about habits and expectations. If you're used to the fire hose model of information consumption, where you're constantly refreshing X or Telegram, switching to a curated feed requires a mental adjustment. You have to accept that you're not going to see every single report the moment it appears. You're going to see a verified, deduplicated version a few minutes later, and that's actually better for your decision-making and your mental health.
The anxiety reduction alone is probably worth the $5 a month. Constantly monitoring an unfiltered information fire hose during a conflict is psychologically damaging. You're exposed to every rumor, every piece of disinformation, every gruesome image, every panicked hot take. A curated feed gives you the information without the emotional assault. And it's not just about comfort. The emotional assault actually degrades your decision-making. If you're in a constant state of alarm from your information feed, you're going to make worse decisions than if you're getting the same information in a calmer, more structured format.
There's solid research on this from the decision science literature. High stress impairs cognitive function, particularly the executive functions you need for planning and risk assessment. So an information product that reduces unnecessary stress isn't just a nice to have. It actually improves the quality of the decisions you make based on that information. And I think LiveUA Map gets this right, perhaps unintentionally. The interface is not flashy. It's a map with markers. It doesn't have auto-playing videos or breaking news banners or comment sections. It's calm. It presents information without amplifying the emotional valence of that information. Compare that to the experience of getting conflict news through X, where every report is sandwiched between outrage, dunking, and engagement bait. The difference is night and day.
All right, before we wrap up, I want to make sure we've actually answered Daniel's questions concretely. He asked, what is Live UA Map? What would you call the type of information product it produces? And what else is out there in this layered tier?
To summarize, Live UA Map is a human-curated, near-real-time conflict event mapping platform founded in 2014 by Ukrainian developers. It covers global conflict zones with an editorial model based on verified sourcing and event categorization. The premium tier is about $5 a month and includes custom alerts. I'd call the product category a curated conflict event feed or a real-time verified incident map. It sits between raw social media monitoring and institutional intelligence products.
For alternatives, we covered a range: ISWs, daily assessments, and interactive maps for the analytical tier. ACLED for research-grade conflict data with longer latency. Datamina for enterprise-grade AI-powered alerting at enterprise prices. CIT, an individual OSINT, accounts for deep dive verification. And then various specialized projects for specific conflicts.
The key insight is that there's no single tool that does everything. The optimal approach is a layered stack. Real-time alerts for immediate threats, a curated feed like Live UA Map for ongoing situational awareness, and a daily analytical product for strategic context. And if you're technically inclined, you can build your own pipeline like Daniel did with sitripisrael.com. But even then, you might find that a human-curated product like Live UA Map fills a gap that automation alone can't cover. That human verification step, particularly the source credibility modeling that comes from years of conflict-specific experience, is still the hardest thing to automate. And it's the thing that makes the biggest difference in the signal-to-noise ratio.
One last thought. Daniel mentioned that he built his own product partly because the commercial alternatives cost about $1,000 a month. That price point tells you something about who the existing market was built for. It wasn't built for civilians in conflict zones. It was built for corporations and governments.
That's what makes Live UA Map interesting. It's one of the few products in this space that's priced for individuals rather than institutions. $5 a month is impulse by territory. It's less than a streaming subscription. And for someone in a conflict zone, the value it provides is dramatically higher than any streaming service. The market has a gap at the individual and small organization level. Live UA Map fills part of it. Daniel's open source pipeline fills another part, but there's still a lot of room for new entrants, and I suspect we'll see more. The tools for building automated news pipelines are getting better and cheaper.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.